Imagine a Friday night outage in a downtown office tower. The facilities team pulls up the digital twin to find wiring diagrams, floor plans, and a dozen layers of metadata. Except none of it matches the actual switch room. For hours, crews chase the wrong panels, vendors wait on incorrect part numbers, and tenants are left in the dark while leadership asks, "Why is this taking so long?" That mismatch between the twin and reality turns what should be clarity into costly confusion. Welcome to Built, Wired and Secured. I'm Alex Morgan. Today, False Mirrors, a short conversation about governing practical digital twins so they actually help operations and handovers instead of becoming expensive, stale artifacts. I want to be explicit up front. We're talking governance and acceptance, not how to model systems or which vendor tool to pick. If you want the short checklist we mention, visit the Built, Wired, and Secured Hub and download the one-page digital twin governance checklist. My guest is Michael Harrington, a senior property manager with years of managing operations across mixed-use and commercial portfolios. Michael, thanks for joining.
Thanks, Alex. Glad to be here. From an operational standpoint, I see digital twins as useful but fragile. If you don't set simple rules up front, you end up with something that looks impressive on a slide and useless on a call when systems go down.
Let's start with scope. The episode outline calls this scope to decision. Basically, pick the few live views a twin must support. How do you determine those 3 to 5 views in practice?
You begin with the decisions you're trying to make. Ask, what do responders need during an incident? What does the handover team need on day one? For me, the high-value views are often a canonical inventory of powered assets with locations and spare part references, an incident triage view that maps systems to failure modes, and a maintenance schedule overlay that shows last updated timestamps. Keep it to 3 to 5 views so teams actually use them.
So instead of modeling everything, every sensor and cable, you pick the views that directly answer those operational questions. That keeps the twin lean and decision ready. Michael, you have a phrase you use often. What's the operational lens we should keep in mind when choosing scope?
I ask, what breaks if this goes down? That frames everything. If a piece of equipment failing makes tenants lose service, that belongs in the live view. If something is nice to know but doesn't change a decision during an outage or handover, it can wait or live in a separate archival model.
Great. Let's move to ownership and freshness. The twin is only useful if someone keeps it current. What simple rules have worked for you?
Ownership has to be specific and operational. Assign a named owner for each view, not a team, a person responsible for the accuracy checklist. Set freshness heuristics. For inventory, a 30-day quick audit. For incident mappings, a review after any major outage. Timestamp each update so people can tell at a glance how current the data is. And most importantly, build update tasks into existing workflows. Tie the twin update to field closeout checklists or vendor punch items so it's low friction.
That lines up with the idea that maintenance of the twin should be a byproduct of work, not a standalone project. Michael, you've said that's fine until it fails, about things that look good until they don't. How does that guide setting SLAs?
Exactly. A gold-plated SLA isn't useful if teams won't maintain it. Use pragmatic SLAs, short windows for critical views, like 24 to 72 hours after a major system change, and longer windows for lower impact data. Document the expectation plainly. Who signs off, what evidence is required, and how to roll back incorrect updates. Treat the SLA as an operational heuristic, not a legal contract.
Which brings us to acceptance tests at handover. The checklist in the show notes has 3 quick, audio-friendly tests. Let's walk through them.
Test 1. Single-source canonical inventory. At closeout, run a brief verification where the field team and the integrator confirm one canonical list of powered assets and their locations. Match serials or asset IDs and stamp it with a time-stamped entry. Test 2. The failover scenario walk. Run a tabletop where you simulate a common failure, power loss to a subsystem, for example, and confirm the twin shows the correct dependencies and next steps. Test 3. Time-stamped evidence trail.
For any change, require a quick photo, log entry, or vendor sign-off that's attached to the twin, so future responders can see who changed what and when.
Short, repeatable, and auditable. Those are the right qualities for on-the-ground acceptance. Any tips for folding findings into O&M after handover?
Make the acceptance record part of the O&M package. If the failover walk uncovers gaps, those become prioritized punch items with owners and deadlines. If inventory mismatches occur, schedule a short reconciliation sprint tied to the building's next planned maintenance window. The key is to make remediations visible and scheduled, not buried in a growing to-fix list.
Before we close, can you share two short anonymized examples? One where a light governance twin delivered clear value, and one where a twin went stale and caused problems.
Sure. Success. A mid-rise office where we scoped the twin to three views: critical power assets, tenant riser maps, and spare parts locations. During a breaker trip, the incident team used the twin to find the correct switchgear and spare fuse, limiting downtime to under an hour. The twins saved money and headaches because the views were tightly scoped and owners kept them current. Failure. Another building where the integrator modeled everything, every sensor and cable. 6 months later, panels had been reconfigured and the twin wasn't updated. During an outage, teams followed the twin to the wrong panel. It cost hours and eroded trust in the tool. That's fine until it fails, and then nobody relies on it anymore.
Those are instructive contrasts. Okay. Three immediate actions listeners can take this week. 1. Pick the 3 to 5 decision views you need. 2. Assign a named owner and a freshness heuristic for each view. 3. Run the 3 acceptance tests at your next handover or maintenance window and attach timestamp evidence. And remember, governance beats glamour. A small, accurate twin that's used daily is more valuable than an exhaustive model that goes stale.
One last note. Keep expectations realistic and operational. Frame SLAs and ownership as heuristics for day-to-day use, not legal promises. Do that, and digital twins become tools that actually help people make the right calls during incidents and handovers.
If you want the one-page digital twin governance checklist we mentioned, visit the Built, Wired, and Secured Resource Hub at GDS Technology. The download includes templated acceptance language you can adapt for your team. Thanks, Michael. This was a great grounded conversation.
Thanks, Alex. Happy to help. And good luck to anyone embarking on this. Keep it small, keep it current, and keep someone accountable.
That's our episode. Built to last, wired with intention, secured for the real world.